exercise and spending time in the outdoors. And I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycry has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCycry.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. The General Services Administration has ascertained that Joe Biden is the apparent winner of the November 3rd election, clearing the way for the start of the transition from President Donald Trump's administration. President Trump has directed his team to cooperate on the transition while vowing to keep up the fight. Administrator Emily Murphy made the determination after Trump efforts failed in Michigan, with commissioners there voting to certify Biden's victory in the state. Trump advisor Sebastian Gorka says both time and options are running short.
The legal remedies have to be exhausted to the nth degree, to the ultimate fruition of that process. But the larger challenge and the more important one is the political. You look at the time crunch, the capacity to prove thousands of instances of voter fraud across the nation is almost impossible to do in the time given before the Electoral College meets in December.
Drug maker AstraZeneca says that late-stage trials show its COVID-19 vaccine is highly effective. At a news conference, Andrew Pollard, head of the Oxford Vaccine Group, says the AstraZeneca vaccine is affordable and more accessible because of its storage requirements.
We have a vaccine that can be used at fridge temperatures. It can be stored at fridge temperatures. And for us in Oxford, this was really important because we want to be able to make sure that this can be distributed not just in a country like this where we can manage any form of distribution, but around the world.
The results announced Monday are based on interim analysis of trials in the UK and Brazil of a vaccine developed by Oxford University and manufactured by AstraZeneca. No hospitalizations or severe cases of COVID-19 were reported in those receiving the vaccine. AstraZeneca is the third major drug company to report late-stage data for a potential COVID-19 vaccine. On Wall Street, the Dow by 327 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What can help you take advantage of today's low mortgage rates and save money? Rocket can. You could save hundreds of dollars every month by refinancing with Rocket Mortgage at today's near historic low rates. If your current rate is over 4%, with today's low rates, you could lower your payment by over $150 a month, saving thousands in interest every year. With a cash out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, you could consolidate and pay off high interest debt, tackle home improvements that could add value to your home, or even set aside cash for your child's future education. We've already helped over 1 million clients just like you reach their home financing goals this year alone. So remember this. What can give you the technology to refinance easily and save money? Rocket can. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Savings based on quick loans, internal data. Rates and fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing letter. License in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 330.
During the global pandemic and shutdown, a lot of us have lost track of friends around the country. Hey, Kevin Wall here. You don't trust flying, and a two-day drive to St. Louis isn't all that appealing, but you still want to show some love to the ones you miss so much. That's where my friends at Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn come in. You can send friends and family delicious Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn in one of 18 flavors. And you can even put you or your family's picture on the label with a message that says, "We miss you." If you own a business, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn can put your brand on every bag. It's a great icebreaker for businesses that rely on sales and marketing. I mean, everybody loves popcorn, so use Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn for your next church or school fundraiser. Oh, and did I mention, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn tastes great. Check out their amazing new website at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. That's Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn.
It's 4:04. This KMCQ Newsflash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal entry, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Saying he's not ready to shut down the state for a second time, Governor Sisolak announced a 3-week statewide pause, which begins tomorrow. The pause requires mask usage at all times when you're around someone who's not a part of your immediate household, whether you're indoors or outdoors. Capacity at bars and restaurants drops to 25% from 50. Gaming operations will also be restricted to 25% occupancy, with all other businesses also going to 25%. Public gathering size limits go back to 50. It was 250, or 25% capacity, whichever is lower. Private gatherings are limited to 10 people. Sisolak said the new restrictions were created in consultation with county and local health officials. The governor's pause button comes nearly 2 weeks after he asked Nevadans to stay at home to slow the spread of COVID-19. Since then, the number of new cases and hospitalizations have continued to spike. And restaurant owners, they're not happy either with the governor hitting the pause button. Bars and restaurants now must drop to just a 25% capacity from their current 50% level.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Well, there's a bad rollover crash, and it's going to be there for a while. Looks like an 18-wheeler is on its side. 215 westbound at Gibson, only one lane is available there, and that's causing a lot of congestion as you leave the 515 to go to the 215.
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour of Live and Loco brought to you by attorney Craig Mueller of Mueller & Associates. When you need an attorney, you need someone who shares your conservative values. Call Craig Mueller at Mueller & Associates, 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. Great to have, as he is every Monday, Scott Hammond, state senator, newly reelected from Nevada District 18. And by the way, are you glad to have all that election stuff behind you? I mean, I know you work very hard at your reelection, and you knocked on a lot of doors, and you talked to a lot of your constituents. Are you glad to finally have it behind you?
Good afternoon, Monday afternoon, right before Thanksgiving. Good to be on your program again. And yes, it is good to have that over with. I know it's, you know, some people think that they just hate getting all the mailers or the phone calls. For me, it's, you know, months and months of just something that, you know, it kind of weighs on you. It's like every day it's getting closer and closer. You know, you enjoy it when you're out knocking on doors, and I really truly do. I enjoy talking to people, but, you know, it just kind of hangs there, you know, day after day, and you're like, oh gosh, the anxiety builds up a little bit. But, you know, it's good to have that over with. And typically, it's all over with in one day. You know, the fact that it's dragging out this long, again, it just drives people to wonder, what system do we have in place and why do we have it there? And I know COVID drove a lot of that, but let's be honest, you know, I think that, you know, changing everything within 100 days of the election really kind of put a wrench in that whole mechanism.
Well, we're inside of 100 days to the next legislature. It is due to kick off on February 1, although I think after talking to you last week, it appears that maybe it won't be going on February 1, but we'll check that out. I'm just curious, will one of the priorities be to fixing the relationship between the legislature and the governor. I mean, you guys have assumed potted plant status. You really have not been a part of any of this Governor Sisolak stuff. Do you think that'll be at least on the agenda to talk about?
Well, I tell you, my colleagues and I, we really want to push that, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're sitting on. I think that both of us, Democrats, Republicans, it doesn't matter who might be in that governor's office, 10 years from now, 12 years from now, 16, 20 years from now, we know now that we as legislators in a time of emergency, we do have to have a role. We can't just allow the governor to sit down and put one dictate after another. One of these mandates for all the people. I mean, I think we've gotten to the point where we should be able to work together and come up with something that allows legislators to be a part of that process, because we are, and the reason why I say this is because I feel like we are closer to what, we're close to the people. And so many times I get phone calls and I want to pass information along, and, quite honestly, that chain of communication was broken from time to time. We had some communication. Not directly to him. I spoke to him once since this whole thing started, but we did have some communication with the office, and I think that needed to continue, because they need to be asking us what constituents are saying to them, whether that constituent is neighbors or a business person or whatever. They just need to have that communication, and we need to put that in law. So I think that's going to be one of those priorities that we have as legislators. And of course, the second part, I think we talked about this last week. We definitely are going to be talking about the budget quite often. And I know last week I may have scared you a little bit and told you what we were looking at as far as the percentage of funds maybe to be cut. But I think I might have been overestimating that, because I think I was looking at the special or thinking about the special session. Really, we don't know where we are, and we probably won't know for sure until December when we get a report.
Well, it can't be good because now we're going into a three-week pause, as outlined by the governor yesterday. First of all, what did you make of the governor's speech?
Yeah, well, I got a lot of phone calls during, right after, text messages, emails. I know a lot of people were very upset with it, and I get it. I mean, look, I get where the governor's getting a lot of information. He's being told this is what's happening. This statistic is not good. We could be doing better here. So he's getting a lot of information, and he'd like to try and help out. But in the end, he also has to remember, we are all adults, and when you start talking to everybody saying, if you don't do this, this is what I'm going to have to do, it sounds like a parent-child relationship, and that just doesn't cut it with people. They're not going to like being talked to or talked down to and saying, you have to do this or else I'm going to take away this from you. Your freedoms. We're going to take a car away from you if you can't come home at a reasonable hour. I mean, that's kind of the way a lot of people are taking that, and let's be honest, if you just give the information to people, tell everybody where we're at, tell them how to best mitigate, most people are going to do what they think is appropriate and take those mitigation steps. They don't want to harm themselves or others, but when you start talking down, and that's what I was getting from all the phone calls, is people did not like that. They did not like the fact that, again, he's coming up and he's saying, okay, I'm going to have to take away some of your freedoms here and restrict you and what you can do, where you can go, who you can be around, and how you have to be when you're around them. And I think people are ready to revolt, to be honest with you. That's the kind of message I was getting yesterday from these phone calls.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. Have you had a chance to talk to the Southern Nevada Health Board? I mean, to just talk with some of their people. I mean, stupid things in this speech yesterday about if it's a bar or restaurant, regardless of size, you have to get a reservation. When I go to PT's for some wings on Monday Night Football, am I going to have to get a reservation? Really?
Yeah. Again, I haven't talked to them. No, I haven't talked to them specifically, but you address something that I think everybody's looking at going, I don't get it. You go into a restaurant, if you're not sitting at a table, wear a mask, but as soon as you sit down, you can take a mask off and eat, because COVID somehow knows, you're eating. So it's like saying time out for a second, you're going to have to stay away. There's just a lot of inconsistencies that I nobody can grasp or gather or understand. I've talked to the hospital associations. I've looked at their statistics. I keep looking at statistics that are handed out by the CDC, Yeah, a lot of things are climbing. But again, I keep looking at the death rate, or are the hospitals being inundated? And so far, I haven't seen the occupancy at the hospitals being threatened at 100% occupancy. And again, we're not talking. Whenever I talk to hospitals, they remind me that when we talk about 100%, it's usually 100% of what they staff, and they don't always staff it to full occupancy or full usage, I guess. So it's never always fully staffed, and so they always have more capacity than they're talking about, at least during this time.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this thing plays out. But yesterday, I was absolutely appalled by something the governor did. And because it's something that's near and dear to your heart, I wanted to ask you about it. I've been dying to ask you about this. This deal of linking the schools, reopening the schools, with how we do with wearing a mask and cleaning our hands and socially distancing and not having more than six people in for Thanksgiving dinner. This thing of trying to link the reopening of the schools, the brick-and-mortar schools, to how we perform as a society with all these mandates, to me it was nothing short of extortion or holding our kids, almost holding our kids hostage to these regulations.
Yeah, well, and it goes back again to what I keep saying, is that it just seems like he's telling us, look, you just don't understand. I know all the information. I've been through all this. You guys haven't been through all this. A parent who's gone through stages of life telling kids, if you do this, if I see another wrapper on the floor, candy wrapper on the floor, I'm going to take away your Halloween candy. That's every time he was speaking, that's what I kept thinking. You're telling them, you'll get this back when you perform like this. When I see these actions, you'll get this back. But these aren't just individual freedoms. These are kids. This is the, at this point, they're not getting much of an education at home, and you're holding that hostage. Now I know why the anger level went up, I think, with a lot of people. I don't listen to them directly. I did not listen to the press conference. I wait till after, and then I read the text, because I don't do very well. My wife sees my blood pressure going up as I'm watching or listening to what he's saying. But I knew what he was saying, because people were calling and texting me the whole time that he was speaking. And then afterwards, I went in and read the text, and I just shake my head and go, I get it. I know that these things, we need to do a better job of mitigating. But at the same time, telling me that if I have more than a certain number of people in my house, that we have to wear masks in my house. First of all, how are you going to police that? How are you going to make sure? I mean, you're basically saying, hey, these are the ways that you can mitigate. Please try to do this. Try not to have more than so many people in your house. Those are the things. I mean, please talk to us like we're adults. Give us information. Be honest. Give us all the information that we need, and let's make choices. It's hard for, and this is where I get people on the left sometimes. I think that maybe this has been politicized too much. But it's funny when I see some of the stuff in social media, where people are saying, hey, why don't people just do this stuff? Come on. Think about how we're, how we are conditioned over time. We're Americans, right? Americans, we believe in individualism. We're not in some other countries where collective, where everybody is thinking of themselves as the we and the us. We are I, myself. We tend to be the kind of people who believe that we got to take care of ourselves and then take care of others as well. But, it's take care of myself, right? It's individual. It's hard for, it's hard all of a sudden to drop that and then say, hey, do this, or else we're going to, knock on your door and check in on you to make sure you're not breaking these rules.
Well, that we'll get to this in our next segment. I did want to ask you kind of a follow-up question, and that is, should Metro enforce these rules, these mandates? If they see more than three or four cars in front of your house on Thanksgiving Day, is the next knock on the door going to be Metro? We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. Always good to have him on. And he's with us every Monday. And I just love it. Stick around. More to do as we continue. My name is Kevin Wall. Scott Hammond alongside on AM 670 KMZQ.
Whatever's on your mind, it's always best. to talk about it.
I like talk radio.
Great you're talking about this. This is a great day.
You gotta listen to talk radio, and you've got to rise up.
Can we just talk?
AM 670 KMCQ. Talk radio done right.
Steve Siddall here at Coach Pete's Money Desk, along with America's Wealth Coach and best-selling author, Coach Pete DeRuta. Coach, let's talk about advance and protect. This is something you've been talking about forever.
Steve, the most important part of any portfolio is making sure you have gains, but more importantly, making sure you don't give them back. And so it's widely known that if we don't have the proper plan, we may never be able to retire. We don't want an ebb and flow plan. We want a plan that advances, and then we have the foxhole. Like, Steve, you're in the Army. You dig a big hole, and you go in it, you go backwards again.
Right.
We're always going forward, and we're never going backwards. The worst thing can happen in advance and protect plan is you have a zero return for a year or two, but that means the market's been going down, down, down. So what's the better plan? One that's up and down all around, or one that's always going forward?
I like going forward.
Go forward plan. Preserve, protect, grow, and have lifetime income. The next 10 people will put together for you your very own advance and protect plan.
Just call 888-702-6932. That's 888-702-6932. Or simply text VEGAS to 21000. That's VEGAS to 21000. Coach, before you go, lots of folks are asking about investing in a bear market. Is that something we should be thinking about right now?
Yeah, well, we can capitalize both ways, Steve, but it's all about making sure, bull and bear, in other words.
Right.
It's about having the right allocation of your money, not having all your eggs in one basket. These are all cliche kind of terms, Steve, and a lot of people don't even listen to them anymore because they hear them so many times, but they don't act on them. So we have to make sure we have our true retirement plan. We call it our total retirement plan, which has growth when you don't need the money, protecting your money from risk, fees, commissions, and then having that financial fill-up strategy, an income check that'll come to you every single month for the rest of your life. We talk about that at a website, 2020moneyguide.com, but we'll give you a no-cost consultation, $1,000 value for the next 10 callers.
Just call 888-702-6932. That's 888-702-6932. Or simply text VEGAS to 21000. That's VEGAS to 21000.
Investment advisory services offered through Capital Financial Advisory Group, a Nevada registered financial advisor.
It's time to get out with the old and in with the...
Woo!
At Finley Chevrolet, we have the largest selection of new Chevrolets in Southern Nevada. Get the Chevrolet you want at the price you deserve today.
Woo!
Finley Chevrolet at the 215 in South Rainbow, Nevada's number one Chevrolet volume dealer. Find new roads.
What did I tell you? I told you we'd all get through the darkest hours of the COVID-19 pandemic together. And we did. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Throughout the governor's stay-at-home orders, Francois and all my friends at Ichabod's Lounge on East Flamingo at Pecos stayed open 24-7 to serve up the same amazing food that Vegas residents have come to expect over the past 30-plus years. But now, the Clark County Commission says it's okay to get out of the house, to reconnect with old friends, to have fun. And the best place to do that is at Ichabod's Lounge. They've completed extensive remodeling that will allow you to play while adhering to social distancing and mandated cleanliness. So, at Ichabod's Lounge, you can have fun and still stay safe. Ichabod's Lounge is back, featuring old-school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the Valley's top gaming promotions. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24-7 with live music. Ichabod's, vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Las Vegas Rock.
Hear about the must-sees, the wanna-eats,
and go behind the scene.
Insider Ron Garrett keeps the Vegas vibe alive every Saturday afternoon at 5.
Las Vegas Rock
on AM 670 KMZQ.
I'm attorney Paul Powell. If you get hurt in a crash, did you know your lawyer can take more money than you? That's right. You get hurt and the lawyer gets rich. Not very fair, is it? When you hire me, those worries go bye, bye, bye. I promise never to take more money than you. And I put it in writing.
If you're tired of greedy lawyers, call 728-5500 or go to paulpowell.com.
I really can help.
Paul Powell.
More lawyer, less fee.
Some restrictions apply.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
And this hour brought to you by my friends at Liberty HealthShare. I love these people. They offer an affordable health care option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. Call 855-58-HEALTH. Liberty. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or check it out on your smartphone at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. Joining us, as he does every Monday, Scott Hammond, State Senator, Nevada District 18. And Let me just ask you the question I kind of teed up there before the break, kind of a follow-up. Do you think Metro will enforce strictly these mandates? For instance, on Thanksgiving Day, if they see 5 or 6 cars out in front of the Hammond household, do you expect you'll get a knock on the door from Metro?
I don't think so. And the reason I say that is because we know that we don't really want to see more and more confrontations between the police and citizens when it is not necessary. And I just can't see that happening. And a police officer has to make lots of judgment calls every single day. Many of them just make sure that they protect their lives, their own lives, and to protect the citizens' lives. I just can't see them, you know, being asked to make even more decisions. Like, they see 3 cars outside of my house. Well, my son owns a car, I own a car, my wife has a car, you know, and there might be one other car from a neighbor that we don't know. I mean, you can't tell how many people are in my house because of how many cars are out front. I don't want police officers to make more and more contact with people when there isn't that much of it. You know, there's not that need. It's not necessary. We need to cut down. We need to mitigate the contact between the police and its citizens if it's not warranted, if something is not amiss there. And I certainly hope we're not starting a trend where people, neighbors, are telling other neighbors. That is also very problematic because now all of a sudden you're creating animosity between folks in the same community, and nobody wants that. I mean, again, we're adults. Tell us, you know, what we can do, what are some of the best ways that we can mitigate, and then let us live our lives.
Just a couple of key questions to close us out. I know last week you and I talked about the possibility that the legislature may not meet in February, that they might delay, and it's mandated in the Constitution, I think. Right. What are you hearing since then? Is there still a possibility that you folks will not begin on February 1?
There's still a possibility, but I think that it's such a small possibility now, because the more I'm hearing, and this is all, you know, just secondhand knowledge now, we haven't heard from leadership yet on it, but I think that they intend to be there in Carson City. As you pointed out, Kevin, it is in the Constitution. If we do gavel in on February 1st and they decide that everything needs to be remote, I will not do that. I will do as the Constitution dictates. I'll be in Carson City for that gaveling in, and you know, they're going to have to make accommodations somehow. But I don't think I think everybody's going to be there at this point. It won't just be me. Yeah, it'll be everybody else, and I'm sure a few of my colleagues feel the same way. I mean, we have business to conduct. I know the building is as safe as it possibly can, you know, be made safe. You can't ever plan for every contingency for this kind of thing or anything in life. So I think that sometimes that's, you know, that's the roller coaster of life, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, I know we can mitigate, and I'm not suggesting that we be loosey-goosey with things, but, you know, I think that, you know, you just can't live life thinking that you can prevent anything and everything from happening to you that might be bad.
Let me just ask you, with the legislature coming in, will you folks be able to bring up subjects like the integrity of the vote? I mean, we've still got the April Becker thing being litigated. We have a special election for a county commissioner with Stavros Anthony, the opportunity of maybe more litigation down the road. Is that something that you will be able to take up?
Well, we may be able to suggest it. I don't know if we'll get very far because, again, we're in the minority. I mean, I'd love to get Joe Gloria in front of a hearing and ask him, you know, how this went, because, you know, we had this talk before in the special session about what might happen, and I'd like to be able to follow up with him, but I don't, you know, we can't force it because we just don't have the ability. You know, we'd have to, I just don't see us being able to get him in front. Now we can talk to our colleagues and say, look, this is what happened. I think we need to follow up. Now, if we're going to do another mail-in, which, again, Assembly Bill 4 in the special session did not call for a continual usage of all mail-in ballot. It just said when emergencies have been called. So it's not like we're going to have that again. But I would like to be able to follow up and find out how it went. You know, give us the ability to ask some questions.
And in our final 90 seconds, are you confident that the results of AB4 made us safe?